Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The greatest 4th of July. Oh my gosh, what a great time. See, when I was a kid, and I grew up in Valley Stream, Long Island, and it was the kids, the fireworks for the kids. Like you would have to hopefully hook up with someone, and they had a list. And on the list, it would have all these different fireworks where it's like, you know, What is this? No one knew what any of the fireworks did. You just went by the prices. And it was so sneaky, and you felt like you're a kid, but yet you were, I guess, committing a crime. You know, you go, one friend would come over like, hey, man, you want to check out? I got a list. And then we'd all go in my garage, and we'd shut the garage door and have a little flashlight and look at all these fireworks stuff that they have. And so it was just, I don't know, it was exciting. And then at the end of the night, you try to outdo each other, playing, you know, bring out your bags of fireworks and all that. It was so exciting as a kid to do that. You know, parents would be getting all banged up, drinking, you know, shooting off Roman candles and all other kinds of stuff, singing. I just remember it being absolutely amazing time when I was a kid. And yeah, you get older and you go over people's places, but at the end of the day, it's about the fireworks. Yes, it's America's birthday and all that. It's the fireworks. You wanna see a big fireworks show. But yesterday reconfirmed for me how much more fun it is to light your own fireworks than to go to some big event with hundreds and thousands of people and watch a big show and be wooed with the music playing and all that. Like, it's fun to watch once, maybe twice if you're dating and you go on a date. I don't know. So this started a couple days ago, and I went, okay, here's how it's going to go down. Now, we've been busy and run around, had things to do, you know, there's personal things going on, my wife's, my daughter, there's a lot of things going on. We had another death in the family, a sister-in-law that passed away. My brother passed away years ago when I was younger, and he left three young boys. And so, you know, my sister-in-law now passed. And so that was and I have to say, even with that, it was very bonding with those boys, my nephews, and the family came together really strong. And it was a good thing. Those are moments that really make or break you. And I have to say, it made us a lot tighter as a family and as a group. And that's all you can ask for, because at the end of the day, that really is all you got. It really is. Your closest circle, your family, your friends, the ones that look after each other, that lift each other up, that inspire one another. And that's all you got. So, but in the back of my mind, I was excited because I had certain people, I had my little great nephews that were coming over. And people say, if you're listening, like, great nephew, wait a minute, you're 50 years old. Let me explain the order of my family. My oldest brother that passed away, he would have been like, 72-ish, something like that. At the end of the day, my mom's first kid, her first kid was born, I think it was 1945. Long story short, my mom's first love, she married and got pregnant while he was in World War II, while he was fighting and battling the Nazis in World War II. Matter of fact, he came home, they were married, got pregnant, and he went back to the war. So now he went back to the war, and there's only 2 months left till the war is over, and he gets taken out in France by a sniper. So that is my oldest brother. Now, when he had, and then my oldest sister, her kids are only 2 years and 3 years younger than me. So we were, even though they were my nieces, and they are my nieces, they're more my, like my sisters. We grew up more like, that's our sisters that we see once in a while. So their kids now, and my kids, are little cousins running around, but they're my great nephews. It's weird to say that's my great nephew, and people are like, why great nephew? What are you talking? So my great nephews are coming over, and these kids are so much fun. They play baseball. They're boy boys. They're baseball, sports, football, competitors, fierce competitors. We're playing wiffle ball, and the little one, and it's a close game. It's a 7-inning game, close game, going back and forth. He's paired up with my youngest daughter, who's also a fierce competitor. She cheats. Yes, I think they're losing. It was like 3-1. My daughter and the little guy was winning. And then the fifth inning, he just broke open. The other team scored 7 runs. The twin boys scored 7 runs. And every time, my daughter would be like, no, they scored 4. 4. I couldn't believe it. She cheats so bad. But, when I look at it, I was no different. I was fierce, nasty competitor as a kid. It reminded me of this time that happened when I was playing in a Little League game. Now, my great nephew who's playing yesterday, the fierce competitive, he ended the game. He was the last at bat, and he was the tying run. Okay, and it was, we played 2 out of team, otherwise I'm going to be there all day, in the backyard. He crushes the ball, but his brother catches it. He throws down the bat, and he just storms off, walks across my backyard, goes up the steps, and he's about to go into my house, and I'm going, James, you got a good hit. He goes, I suck, Uncle Jimmy, I suck. I went, no, dude, you knocked in most of the runs of the game, but I made the last out, I suck. And he just took off. So I got to laugh at that. I like that. To me, I like that. You need that competition. You need that. I don't like the, well, you know, no. Sometimes you lose, and sometimes when you put your best, you lose. And that is a defining part of life. Sometimes it sucks. It sucks. Welcome to life. My father used to say that all the time. Like, Dad, I can't believe this happened. You don't see us. Yeah, well, yeah, it sucks. Well, no, you don't get it. No, I do get it. It sucks. That's it.
That's what it comes down to. Sucks. He's right. He's right. And what are you going to do? Dwell, blah, blah.
So I try to pull the kid aside. Like, James, listen. I go, I was playing a game. It is kind of true. I've got over my fierce competitiveness. I really have. But I would, and this is something I brought on stage too. Even as a young stand-up comedian, when I came to New York, a lot of people didn't like me, and a lot of them still don't like me. I really don't know what it is. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't try to figure it out. That's their own miseries. And there's still a couple of them out there. I'm not going to mention who they are, but I came to New York City, and these guys would just murder on stage. Murder on stage. And my mission was, well, guess what? I'm gonna watch this all go down, and I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna crush harder than anyone that went on tonight. And I still bring that mentality to stage. There may be bigger stars, there may be whatever, but when I go on stage, my mission is to crush you so hard that you'll never forget this night the rest of your life. And no matter what was going on in your life, no matter how tragic, how horrible, whatever bicker you got in, an argument, something you can't get over, something you're dwelling, I'm going to take it away tonight. And there's a little bit of it, it's going to heal you, and you're going to feel better about it and realize it's not as big as you are making it. That really is my mission, nonstop on stage. So I pull James behind, I pull him aside, I go, James, listen. He's like, what? Now he's only 7. He's not even 7 yet. All right? So you got to picture that. He's 6 and a half. He's not even 7. He's 6. 6 and a half, this little guy. I suck. I go, James, you know, the last 2 years, I play this fantasy camp with the Mets. And at the end, you get to play the real Mets. Now, this really didn't happen, but it happened during a game. I said, our team was losing by 14 runs in the bottom of the ninth inning. 14 runs. We were terrible. You're talking about suck? We sucked. However, with 2 outs, and they were the best team that we were playing, we scored 10 runs. 10 runs with 2 outs. We had 4 runs all game. Now all of a sudden we have 14 to bottom night with 2 out. I came to bat with the bases loaded. And I crushed that ball. I mean, crushed it. It was far, deep, screaming line drive, going way out in the outfield. I just stared at the ball. You know when ball players crack it and they just stare at it? That's what I did. Matter of fact, my stance, I swung the bat, my legs were wide, I stayed in that stance. I'd even stand upright to watch it. I stayed in my stance and just watched this thing fly. And then out of nowhere. And the reason I stood there, because I knew once it went past them, it's gone. It's a home run. You're not going to get the ball. The field goes on and on and on. Out of nowhere, punk in center field, young, probably like 33, ran like a gazelle, which seemed like for like 5 seconds, and dove. We're not getting paid to play this game. There's no big trophies. He dove. Head first, running as fast as he can, and caught that ball to end the game. And then he just laid there in exhaustion, and all of them, they'd even cheer. They were just like, oh my God, thank God. Thank God. This would have been beyond history. A team scores 14 runs to tie the game the ninth. It's nuts. That's like a little league game with 5-year-olds. I said, James, I crushed that ball. You know what? I didn't suck. That kid just, he took it away from me. You didn't suck today. You hit the ball hard, and he caught the ball. And he and my little nephew thought about it, and he looked at me and went, "No, I sucked." You know, so we're playing, we're jumping in the pool, and life is good. We're having a barbecue, hamburgers, hot dogs, ribs. It's a good day. Drinking. My in-laws got lit up. It's so funny when you see like a 7-year-old, just a 70-year-old, all banged up. I mean, banged up. We were laughing our asses off.
I don't want to go home. I'm not done talking to me.
Just get out this door, Rummy, and you're the city's problem.
I'll dance for my money. Da 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 da.
So my mission was, I haven't lit off fireworks probably since I was a teenager. I'm making coffee right now, so please excuse me. I haven't lit fireworks since I was young, since practically I was a kid. I'm doing it. I'm going to get fireworks. I brought some cash, and off I went. And I went to this place. Now, the weird thing is they take your license. When you walk in, they're like, "Have you been here before?" I said, "No."
See, the problem with bodegas is they never remember you. So you always have to do something extreme to let them know that it's you when you're cool.
Hey, fellas, y'all know me. Come on now. Look at this. Hey, Blackass. Hey, why you didn't moon us earlier, eh?
It's a little degrading.
So, well, you need to give us your license. I said, well, what? He goes, that's the law. I went, oh, God. I don't know. Maybe if something catches on fire or... I don't know what the deal is. Maybe whatever. So I buy some. I'm asking a guy, "What's it? Oh, these things go up in the air and they blow up in the air. This is huge, you know." And the fireworks, when they go up, and the big bang, and it looks like a big umbrella's coming down. Yeah, it's like 5 of these. I'm like, "Yeah, I'll take one of those, and 2 of those, 3 of these, or a couple of those, and yeah, let me get that and this and that, and oh my God, let's do that." And then I also knew the kids and went, okay, I need a bunch of stuff for these kids. Because when we were a little kid and we would do it with a punk, there was this punk, everyone would get a punk and that's what would light the fireworks. You take a punk and you go up there and you light all up. You know, and the whole time you go do it and your parents are like, "Well, be careful and I'll blow your face up and I'm not going to..." My mom would go, "I'm not going to hospital if you burn your damn hand off. There's going to be no doctors working and..." All right. So I'm just trying to... Jim, will you take it down a level, Martini Mom? Martini Mom on the porch tearing it up. Take it down a level. Dogs are barking the whole... Can you bring the dog inside? The thing's scared to death. Let's bring it inside. So I got Roman candles. I'm locked. I'm loaded. I'm locked and loaded. Kids are gonna have a ball with this. So I got and I don't know who's more excited. Now I have all these fireworks in bags. And they put a whole display in these plastic bags that you can buy. So instead of picking your own, you can pick your own. You know, picture going to the candy store. And you can go, okay, I'll just buy M&M's, or I'll just buy some Twix, or I'll just buy Charleston Chew there, and whatchamacallit. Or what they do is they put a whole big mix in a box, and they sell it as a variety pack. So I got a variety pack. I picked out some of my own that I knew the kids would love. I got, and then I, you know, get the big aerials, the ones that go up and go boom and go nutso. So now it's time. I'm waiting for it to get dark. I'm waiting patiently. I know who's more excited. I am. I can't wait. I'd show the kids. I'm like, "Guys, you want to see Uncle Jimmy's fireworks?" They're like, "Oh, wow, this looks amazing, Uncle Jim." And they're like, "Can we open it?" I'm like, no, you gotta wait till it's dark out and all this jazz. So now it's dark. I'm like, "All right, it's time to start lighting fireworks." And we light our punks, we go out in the street, and we're ready to tear it up. And it all came back to me. I grew up on a street, And it was the greatest childhood in my entire life. There were about 6-7 of us that were such a close family growing up. And our ages varied up to 5 years. Like there was, I was the oldest, so I'd be 16. And there'd be an 11-year-old. So from 11 to 16, it was 11, 13, 15, 16, and a 14-year-old. And we were like brothers. We still keep in touch. We still look after each other. We still care. You know, we all have our own lives. But that really was our, it was such an amazing time growing up. It really was. You live by the street. You learn from the street. You learn from one another. There's no nothing. You put a head. You know, you go outside. You ride your bike. You would find a curb, and we'd be flipping curbs for a day. There's no helmets and all that jazz. Like, can you imagine wearing a helmet back then? You'd probably get beat up. You get tormented. Were you fairy? I hope you had brain surgery. Otherwise, there's no reason to be wearing a helmet. If you weren't good enough to jump a curb or put a board up and jump, then there's no not wearing a helmet. You just don't do it because you're not capable of doing it. I don't know what's going on with it. Maybe, you know, that's when you realize, like, wow, am I old fashioned? Am I? Like, even James with losing, you know, I was thinking about that, like, how many parents would have been like, James, just a game. No, I lost. You lose. Sometimes it sucks. And you're not getting an award. All you're getting is ridicule. We won. That's it. That's what it comes down to. We won. Sometimes there's bad winners. That's life, man. That's life. You know, lie about that. I'm falling way off course here. But as my childhood, I grew up and I told my kids, my father would say to me, I just want you to have more than I have. I just want you to have more than me. And that's that documentary I made about me and my dad. And it's more about just me and my dad. It's about the circle of life. One of the reasons I really made it was, when we go out on the road, he was the star. He was the one that was really funny. He was the one that was killing it. We were on the radio show one time. Luby Doo remembers this. And Bob Saget would come on the radio. And this is before he let everyone know he's filthy on stage and dirty on stage and dark and funny. And he came on the show and my father out-darked, out-filthied, out-funnied Bob Saget.
Can I get in your ass? Not that I want to, but little shit here and there doesn't bother me.
He's such a good guy, and your dad's hilarious, man.
My father was hilarious, but we had different styles of humor, and I remember a moment that changed my thinking of touring and what I was doing and everything. I was in Houston, playing in Houston, and I remember I got to meet a boy. They were playing the Astros were playing the Reds, and Bronson Arroyo came to the show along with like Steve Avery and all these ball players. If you know MLB, I was so excited. But the more exciting thing was, and I had my dad. I would bring my dad a lot on the road because he was aging, and we were great friends as we moved along. The older we got, the more friends, and I wanted to take care of him. And I saw him aging, and I saw his deteriorating and his disappointment of that. And it's something that he taught me a lot. As I get older, I'm going to go through the feelings he went through in his eyes. And he might not have said it, but I remember a lot of things. And this guy came up to me after the show. A young guy. And I'm doing material now about my kids and their infants and my wife. And, you know, I'm a dad. I was in Half Baked and blah blah blah, but now I'm a father, and I'm talking more about that stuff. And this kid comes up to me, and he meets me at this show, and he goes, "Is that your father you're with?" I said, "Yeah."
Oh, I remember. He drove like 6 hours to come see me. And he comes in the group. I said, yeah, I'll say hello to him. He comes in the backstage, and it was me and my dad, and my dad's, you know, being himself and asking all these really inappropriate questions, which I would say right now, but like, you know what? No, I'm gonna say, he would sit there, he's like, are you a fag, playing with yourself, whatever questions.
It's an open ass party. I'm in.
It was my dad. And the kid's laughing, all this jazz. And then later in the night, the kid waited for me to leave. And I bring my dad, I put him in the car, and he's like, hey, Brewer. I don't know what was gonna go down here. I was like, oh, this pain ass kid. He comes up to me and he goes, dude, I drove 6 hours with the mission of, I want to smoke a joint with Brian from Half Baked. Because that was my mission. I knew I was going to be able to do it. He goes, and then when I saw you with your father, and I heard you on stage talking about you're married and your family, dude, I have this whole different outlook, not only just you, on just life, on life. Because thank you, man. You completely inspired me and changed everything. I swear to God, that was a powerful moment for me. I'm not sure for that kid, but it was a powerful moment for me because it made me realize you don't know who you're inspiring in life. And that's such an important element of it all. And stuff like that keeps me going on stage when I hear some that. And I knew what I was doing with my dad was really gonna change people, inspire people, and help people. So many people watched that one. You helped me with my father and how I feel about him and how I dealt with him and his emotions and what I thought of them. It's not easy when your parents get old and you become a caretaker. So it's pretty awesome. So he always would say, I want you to have more than me. I said, Dad, I already have more than you. You did great. I already have it. And I share with you and the family. I told my kids, I want you to have half of what I had growing up. Because if you can have half, then you got a good childhood. So to watch these kids, it's more than 4th of July. I wanted to give these kids a memory, a moment, a bonding moment, a tradition to bring this another 40 years when they got kids. So when I pulled out those fireworks, and I made that first, I didn't make it. I said, you want to light the fireworks off? And I asked mom and dad, I said, you guys all right with this? They're not big crazy. I said, all right, be very careful, boom, boom, and everyone's there. The excitement on these kids' faces to take a punk and light a firework and see it, sparks are coming out and a whistle. They're like, ah! You know, and they're running halfway down the block as if this is going to be a part nuclear bomb going up. That is an awesome feeling. It's an awesome feeling. That's what yesterday was truly about. So my neighbor comes, and this is the grand schmidt. This is what makes 4th of July. All right, so he comes. He's got the tube. He's got the mortars. Everyone knows this is like heightened alert. This is what they use at Disney that blows up. This is what they use at Macy's. The mortars are the big famous ones. They go flying up in the air in the big, big, gigantic booms. These are the ones also that when you go on YouTube, when you look on YouTube and you see the ones that go disaster and the thing gets tipped over and starts the people running for their lives, you just, all you hear is, and people just scattering and running for their lives, thinking they're blown up, people getting burnt. This is what this guy's bringing to the table. And quite honestly, I wanted to buy this, but I was too chicken. I chickened out. I could have bought it. You're looking at the fuse. It's more than a foot long. You know this is the real, it gives you, it gives you at least 30 seconds to run your ass off and to warn everyone. So we're getting ready to knock this sucker out. Okay, the kids are prepped and the kids want to light. No, the parents are hiding the kids. Get behind the tree. We don't know what it's going to do. We find the clearing and we're about to do it, right? Now, for safety reasons, we went and got bricks too. Like, God forbid the tube did actually not work. So he has a tube and he has the mortars. We light this sucker off. Run our asses off. The freaking tube explodes. The thing that it completely explodes. Kabang! And just like you see on YouTube and everything, the spark. Now picture when it goes up in the air and explodes, it goes far and wide. It probably goes at least 20 to 30 yards in one direction. Altogether, it probably goes, I don't know, at least 50 yards, probably 40, 50 yards in diameter. I don't know. I'm not good with all that. So it's a pretty wide circle. This thing blows up in the canister and it shoots past all of us. All of us. It comes... I was right by a tree. One of the sparks hit the tree, bounced off, went flying into my neighbor's yard, and everyone scattered like, whoa! And while it does it, it blows up, so you just hear these explosions all over. We're all running our asses up. And then when it's over, this is the crazy part, all you see are little pockets of very, very tiny little fires. Very, you know, maybe like 6 inches wide. I was like, oh, wow, this is... He goes, I got more, but I don't have a tube. I'm going to go get it. Now, you think people would want to get... This is why fireworks are illegal. You think people go, you know what? This is why it's illegal. This is why you leave it up to the professionals. Let's end it here. No, this is where... I've got a PCP piping. I got some more bricks. Let's go get... So now we're on a mission. The kids are running around looking for bricks. My neighbor finds a PCP pipe.
That's not mine. I've never seen that before in my life.
That's PCP. Phenacyclidine. Angel dust. You ever seen what this stuff does to kids? You are looking at 3 to 5 mandatory. Lewis.
We're all set in business. Takes us a couple minutes. Put it up there. Boom. Next one goes off. It only goes up about 4 feet in the air. Bang! Big wide. Everyone's running. More fires are set. We still got... Two more. Should we do it? Absolutely, we do it. It was, oh my God, I was hiding behind a tree. The kids were in the house. It was freaking, that is what 4th of July, my daughter burnt her finger on a sparkler. Amateur, real amateur. When you burn your finger on a sparkler, you're amateur. That is what 4th of July is really bad. Do you think the people that went to the mass Macy's thing or the things at the beaches or the Brooklyn Bridge, you think they're talking about it the next day? You think they're honestly talking about it? You think they have a story to talk about the next day? They got nothing. It was nice. It was beautiful. And then they spent 4 hours trying to get home in traffic and dealing with drunks and dealing... with morons and people talking about politics and argue. This guy's throwing up over there. This guy's pissing on a car tire. These people getting arrested for belligerence. Bring it home. Buying your own fireworks. Little danger. Little excitement. Memories forever. That's my 4th of July. That's the way it goes down. A little excitement, a little burnt. Raising the bar level. It's illegal. Shouldn't be doing it. That's what I'm talking about. That's the adrenaline rush. That was a damn good 4th of July. You know, the coolest part, too, is when now everyone leaves and whatever, but one of my neighbor brought it down and said, you know what? You got any beer?
I got to work in the morning. We had a couple neighbors. We said, let's have one beer. One beer. I was already done. I was tired. He had a beer, had a glass of wine for his wife, another glass of wine for another neighbor. My wife doesn't drink. We went in the yard. We sat in this little gazebo. And we talked, made fun of the rest of the neighbors, made fun of each other, talked about our childhood, talked about what 4th of July was to us, talked about our kids, raising teenagers, what they're like today. And that's what community's about right there. We had a little community session right there. And that's the 4th of July, man. That's the 4th of July. I'm pretty sad. I haven't toured in a while, and I go on tour. I'm heading to St. Louis. I haven't played St. Louis in a very, very long time. And I'm really excited about playing St. Louis. I'm gonna be trying out a lot of material. Gonna be winging it a lot. I want to read something to you guys. An email I got, which is really cool, by an actual listener, and his name is Rick. So Rick writes, "Hey Jim, I've been following your work for a little while now on YouTube and Spotify, and last week I discovered the podcast on iTunes. Love your work. I love American comedy. Some people here in the UK don't always get it, but I love it. Like you, I'm a huge metal fan. Love Metallica, AC/DC, and thanks to you, Volbeat. Been listening to them all weekend. I was really sorry to hear about your mum's passing. I've been catching up on older episodes of the podcast since I discovered it, and I heard all those episodes on Friday afternoon. My wife lost her mom breast cancer last year, so I kind of understand for how you've been feeling. My mother-in-law passed away in hospice, and her husband, my wife, and daughter, and myself by her side, which is how she wanted. You said in a podcast that you've been using it as a platform for kind of therapy. I am. I totally am. And that you're able to vent what's been going on and you've been feeling and how you've been feeling to the listeners. And I'm glad this has helped you. Listening to it made me feel that on some level that I was doing something to help. Well, you are, dude. You absolutely are. Podcasts like yours helped me too. I've recently been diagnosed with depression and anxiety brought on through putting myself under too much pressure, and you've been going through some dark times. I'm in the final months of finishing my degree at university. I'm doing it on my own time as well as working. Being a dad and a husband, to be honest, I'm my own worst enemy because I don't give myself enough time to exhale and relax. I have panic attacks, really random times, and for no apparent reason. Dude, I'm going to tell you right now, I used to have panic attacks all the time. All the time. I have panic attacks thinking my wife's gonna pass away. I have panic attacks thinking I'm gonna be old and I have no one by my side. I have panic attacks that I'm gonna lose one of my children one day. It's just, I honestly think panic attacks are 100% natural. I don't care what anyone says. I'm not a doctor. My niece tells me she would have, I mean, I'm talking panic attacks to the point where you sob, you cry, you hyperventilate. I'm sorry. I think that's completely normal. Same with depression. I go in up and downs with depression. I'm not in depression right now, but sometimes I feel like I'm just here. I'm just existing. And it's an awful feeling. You want to do more. And then there's times where you feel like you're doing too much. You're trying to be occupied way too much instead of just being still. We're not taught to be still. And being still and listening to an inside voice is probably the most important thing you need in life. That's what I think. I've been listening to podcasts years and it helped me blah, 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 difficult times, and I know that I'm not alone. You are not.
Plus, you make me laugh so much. Well, that's cool. When I heard the long-lived paint sketch from End Laughter for All album DVD on Spotify, I was in my office. I let out the biggest laugh. Actually, it was more of a howl. All the guys around me thought I'd gone crazy until I played it for them. Keep up the awesome work, Jim. I hope that one day when I'm next in the U.S., I'll get a chance to see one of your shows. Well, Rick, please let me know if you are. I'd love to say hello, and I'd love to meet you. And letters like yours keep me going. They keep me going, and it makes you realize we're more connected than people think. Doesn't matter if I'm an entertainer, comedian, been on TV, been this. You're just as important as me and everyone else. That's what keeps life going. I can't wait to see you guys on the road. I'm excited. St. Louis this weekend. Then I'm going to the Voodoo Lounge in Kansas City. And then the following week, I'm going to be in California, Berkshire, Irvine, San Francisco, San Jose, and someplace I completely forgot the name of, but I know the tickets aren't doing well there. So hopefully by next week, the tickets will do better. I can't wait to see you all out there on the road. I'll talk to you soon. And seriously, you have no clue, and I honestly mean this. Thank you. Thank you for keeping me going. Thank you for listening. And thank you for writing. It means more than you will ever imagine. And you touch me, I go out and touch others. And that's what life's about. So thank you. Thanks for listening. Luby Doo, thanks for adding all your bells and whistles. Happy 4th of July. Let's tear this summer up. Thank you so much.
We are travelers in time. That's a fact we cannot change. It's your soul, that's who you are, and your body's just a cage.
What lies beneath it all?
Welcome to the unexplained.
We lie awake, let our thoughts burn up the night. We are the chosen ones.
Shine another day, another life, another way. Play the game, it's win or lose, it's right or wrong, so you better choose.
What lies beneath it all?